temple of God, he is taken as a captive into the enemy territory. He's sitting there as a captive. But there, he sees the presence of God. Ezekiel is a book of the presence of God. The last word says the Lord is there. And there's something that is, you know, peculiar. And I want us to look at that before we go into the word. In Ezekiel chapter 8, we see in the sixth year of the king, the last king, Zedekiah. Sixth year. Actually, the last king reigned for 11 years. And God was waiting. God was waiting for the people to turn. But in the sixth year, Ezekiel sees a vision. In fact, the Lord carries him by the hair and takes him, transports him to Jerusalem. And there in Ezekiel chapter 8 verse 4, he sees the glorious presence of the God exactly as he saw in chapter 1. Chapter 1, the description is amazing. And you know, it is like the appearance and all that. He says he sees the same glory in the temple, in the Holy of Holies. But if you see in the rest of the chapter, the people of Israel who are still there, who are not taken as captives, who are still there in the kingdom of Israel, they are worshipping idols. They are worshipping the sun. They are worshipping the fertility god right there in the temple. Actually, this is the condition of the church today. In the end times, the temple is there, the church is there, the gatherings are there, people are singing songs, but they are not seeing the glory of God. And it is because we have idols in our heart, and I'm praying, you know, as we end this year, that we will not exchange anything for the presence of God. The end of it all, if we can't experience the presence of God, you know, it's real waste. I want you to strive and say, Lord, I want to experience your presence. Not only in the church, not in those few minutes that I pray. I want to experience the presence of God throughout. And I believe the Lord will give you an experience to be with him and experience the love of God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We're looking at witnessing. We looked at Paul's life of witnessing. He witnessed from prison. He witnessed there in Caesarea. Last week we saw it. Today I want us to look at this theme. Witnessing before rulers and authorities. Witnessing before rulers and authorities. You know, this is a chart that I put in the beginning. And last week we looked at Paul leaving Jerusalem, going to Caesarea. And Paul actually witnessed before these rulers, the governor Felix, the governor Festus, King Agrippa, and there in Rome as well. And the time that he spent was like over 2 years here and over 2 years in Rome, 2 years in Caesarea, and 2 years in Rome. So close to about 5 years, the Lord used Paul to witness to kings, rulers, and people in authority. I want us to look at it a little more in detail, you know, a summary of Paul's life of witnessing to rulers and authorities. When God called Paul, he said, he will be my witness to kings. He will be my witness to kings. And I will show him how much he must suffer for me. And God, true to his word, true to his promise, he gave opportunities for Paul to stand before rulers, kings, and witness the resurrection power of Lord Jesus Christ. So we look at that quickly, and then we will go on to the next part of the message. So in chapter 23, verses 33 till the end of 24th chapter, this is the governor Felix. And the Jews send an advocate by the name of Tertullian from Jerusalem to Caesarea, and he comes and makes the allegations, and Paul makes his defense. And I believe this man, Felix, he is a governor who is aware of the Jewish traditions. And he said, I will wait for the commander Lysias to come and then we will look at it. But what happens is for 2 full years, he is there. Paul is there in the Roman prison in Caesarea, but he's got a little freedom. This man gives him a little freedom. And then the narrative says that when his wife comes, he asks Paul. And Paul talks about the resurrection and faith and all that. But after that, you know, again and again, this Felix is calling Paul to talk about Jesus. But his intention is that Paul will give him a bribe and he will be released from prison. But Paul was not going to give a bribe. You know, one act can spoil our witness. Just imagine, 2 years, this guy tried. He must have asked him also. The Bible says, you know, he kept on calling him, hoping that Paul will give him a bribe, but you know, Paul didn't give him a bribe. And 2 years later, you know, the same man who gave him freedom in the prison wanted to please the Jews, and he bound him. And he was getting transferred, and another governor was coming. Nothing happened. There are 7 times when we will witness, and the people who listen to our word, they are not going to turn. It doesn't matter. Our job is to witness. Our job is to share Jesus. I know in my life, in the corporate life, many people have witnessed, but many of them have not accepted Christ. But we have presented that this is Jesus. This is the resurrection. This is the resurrection law, resurrected law. And you know, that is our job. So the next one is Governor Festus. And this governor, he is a friend of the Jews. And the Jews tried to get Paul to travel from Caesarea back to Jerusalem so that on the way they can kill him. But you know, God gives Paul right words. You know, when this governor says, Paul, are you willing to go with me to Jerusalem? Paul says, no. I've done nothing wrong. I appeal to Caesar. So this governor says to Caesar, you have appealed, and to Caesar you will go. Which means from Caesarea, after waiting for 2 years, he will go to Rome. But while he is there in that city of Caesarea, there is a king, King Agrippa, who visits Caesarea. And Festus tells King Agrippa, there's a man who is a prisoner, whom the previous governor Festus sent, and he is here as a prisoner. I don't find anything wrong in him. I don't even know what to write as a criminal offense when I send him to Rome. Can you see him? And King Agrippa actually says, yes, I would like to see him. So the next day, chapter 26, is a testimony of Paul before King Agrippa. I want us to read that, because this is another powerful testimony. So much so, in a little while, King Agrippa says, in a little while, Paul, you would have converted me. That's the powerful witness that Paul gave before this king. And there's another, and after that we see that he goes to the Roman palace. Acts chapter 28, the concluding verses, says that he's there for 2 full years. He's kept under arrest, but he's in his own house, and nothing happens. But in the book of Philippians, we see that during the time when he was in the Roman prison, imprisoned under the final stage of his prison tenure, he is actually witnessing to the whole palace guard. He says, the whole palace guard has come to know about Jesus because I'm here. Just imagine, he's writing to Philippi. Philippi is a place where the believers knew that Paul was put in prison. There was a mighty earthquake, mighty wave. The Lord brought Paul outside the prison. And he's writing to this people, look, there it happened, yes, but here it has not happened. I'm still in prison. But because of this, the whole palace guard has come to know Jesus. So at the end of life, that is our reason. You know, people should see Jesus in us. We should have an opportunity to tell that this is Jesus, witnessing for Jesus. And Paul did that very well. In the city of Corinth, Acts chapter 18, we see the city of Corinth, Paul is there. He's there for 1.5 years. And towards the end of this 1.5 years, they try to, you know, beat him up and send him out of the city. And there's a whole, there's commotion. But there is one person who's, you know, who they bring him to Galileo, who's a proconsul. And the proconsul is a person who's reporting directly to the emperor. The emperor, the Roman emperor was there, and in different regions. In chapter 13, we see proconsul in Cyprus. Every region had this proconsul who used to be the one reporting to the emperor. So, you know, he's an authority in that place. And here, there's something that happens. Galileo says, if there's any criminal charge, bring him. But if there's anything to do with your laws and your rules, you judge. So this became like a verdict that was used for the next many years in the Roman Empire, saying, look, verdict of Galileo. And the people could actually move freely. This was a big thing. But the last one, I want us to see is Acts chapter 13, verse 7 to 12. Paul is there in the city of Paphos. This is again a Roman proconsul. His name is Sergius Paulus. And there is a witch doctor, a magician there, a sorcerer. He's trying to prevent Paul from ministering to this proconsul. And Paul curses him. The man who is seeing, he becomes blind. That's a miracle. Sometimes you see only, blind guys seeing is a miracle. Actually, seeing guys becoming blind because they, man of God said it, that's also a miracle. Sometimes the miracle that happens to you is the miracle that will happen to others. You experience a miracle, miracle happens for the others. What is the miracle Paul experienced? He was going to persecute the people of God on the road to Damascus. What happened to him? He saw that bright light and he was blinded. So that was a miracle. That is the turning point for Paul. And that same miracle happened to this Roman proconsul in Cyprus, Sergius Paulus. And the Bible says he believed. He believed. But all these witnessing for so many governors, rulers, kings, commanders, captains, there is one man, one number two in the kingdom. Number one is the emperor. This man is like a number two position. He comes to the saving knowledge of Jesus. So, in our witnessing to rulers and authorities, it's not, whom we bring to the Lord, who is converted. Our job is to witness. Our job is to be a witness. Our job is to present the gospel. But the Lord will do something in these rulers and authorities and bring them to the saving knowledge. Now, why are we looking at this specifically? This morning, I want to look at this specifically because we need to have the headquarters or the rulers under the rulership and authority of the kingdom of God. It's like, conquering all these people and losing the final battle. It's like that. So it's really something significant. So I want us to actually go to the Old Testament for some examples. When we see, when we look at a theme of being a witness to rulers and authorities, I can give you examples from here, but there are examples in the Bible itself. And the biggest example that I can see is from the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel, what happened?
No, she's copying.
Okay, in the book of Daniel, we see Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar is a terrible king. You know the kind of things that Nebuchadnezzar did. Nebuchadnezzar was sent to destroy Jerusalem. Nebuchadnezzar burned the city of Jerusalem. He destroyed the walls. He even destroyed the temples. He took the temple articles from the temple of Jerusalem and brought it to his temple back in Babylon. He's a very difficult king. And if you read in the book of Daniel, twice we see that. The kind of punishment that comes to him, moment he decides he wants to give a punishment, the punishment will be that, the man should be cut into pieces and the houses should become an ash heap. That is his punishment. You read that, twice it appears. So that is a kind of authority. And in the book of Daniel, we read Daniel chapter 2. I want us to turn to Daniel chapter 2 and see this word. This is the system. This is the hierarchy. The king gave the command to call magicians, astrologers, sorcerers, and Chaldeans. To tell his dreams. These are his next level. There is a king, and below him there are magicians, astrologers, sorcerers, and wise men. And this is really what is there in our country also. Look at what happens before elections. They go and see witch doctors, they go and see magicians, they do these yagnas, This is what they do because this is what they believe. They believe in some supernatural power. And I want us to see, this is the reality. The last few days, 3 days back on 6th December, I came here, I said, hey, why are the lights hanging around that huge water tank? I said, hey, 6th, it's not a day to celebrate. Yesterday, I saw, everything is commissioned. The Ayyappa temple and, they've created one at the bus stand. The auto guys have been asked to move. Huge pandals. And so, go there in the night, you'll see. huge billboards, lighted, decorated, you know, deities. That is their conviction. And people are offering sacrifices to those demons and who know what they call as gods. And these are all real. We are living in the time like Daniel lived in Babylon. So Nebuchadnezzar, these were his gods, these were his authorities. He had a dream, he could not find out what the dream was. First thing he said, okay, what is this is something not natural, this is something supernatural. Let me inquire from these guys who claim to be above natural. Magicians, you can do something that normal man cannot do. Astrologers, you can foretell the future, foresee the future. Okay guys, come on, come and tell me what this dream is all about. So that was the system, that was the hierarchy. Actually, we must remember our wrestling, our fight is not with flesh and blood. It's against rulers, authorities, principalities, powers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. This is our wrestling. This is a battle. These are the forces that we are battling against. When things don't go right, when things go wrong, when you see conflict, don't immediately look at the people. I've looked at people and miserably failed. Behind the people, there are these spirits, there are these powers, there are these powers that are at work. And in Daniel's time, this was the power at work. But I want us to look at this. This is a beautiful illustration because, when you read the book of Ezekiel, when you read the book of Daniel, we need to see how God kept his people who trusted in the supernatural and saw the glory of God. When Jerusalem did not see the glory of God, when the nominal, Jews had given up, the nominal Jews were talking, in their mouth there was God. In the mouth there, in the hands they were sacrificing. But the heart was far away from God. The hearts were hardened. The hearts had the idols. Everything that God detested, they were doing. And I'm telling you, today in our church it is happening. People have, when I say the church of God, today, it is happening. We confess faith, but we don't want to confess the supernatural. We say, yes, it is true, but we don't want to see it in our lives. We don't have that conviction. It's my prayer today that, by the end of this message, we will have the conviction that Daniel had, because we need that in the end times. In today's world, we need to see the supernatural happen in our lives and around us. And I want us to believe, Harvesting Church, we are a special church. I believe that, I believe, and I want us to, see that. I want the faith to actually build up. I want that to build up for our children also. Children, are you listening? Yesterday, one great man of God died. 79 years. Died. When he gave his life to Jesus? 10 years old. To the age of 10. The age of 10, God put in his heart Africa. And 60 years he ministered. 77 million people have given recorded commitments to Jesus. What a powerful witness. And it didn't start when he was 60 years old. It started when he was 10 years old. So young people, don't look down on yourself. Don't undermine your life. God can do something wonderful. But you need to know the supernatural. Reinhard Bonnke's Facebook page says, Pentecostal preacher. Power of Pentecost worked in his life. If you undermine Pentecost, somebody said, church without the supernatural is just an institution. Church without the supernatural is only an institution. If we undermine Pentecost, we will just be an institution. We will just be nominal. But if we acknowledge and say, Lord, the Holy Spirit, Jesus left the Holy Spirit behind for his works to be manifest. And he is manifesting this. And I want us to acknowledge and accept, yes, Holy Spirit, I want you to work in our lives. And even, what a powerful testimony. And this is happening now in our times. You think India has demons and witchcraft and idols? Africa is the dark. It was called the dark continent. This man of God served there. Powerful manifestations of people being delivered from demons and darkness into the kingdom of light. Amen.
Amen.
Do you believe?
Yes.
I want us to believe. I want faith to rise up. You know, I don't want us to end the year with a sign. Moses says, we ended our years with a sign. No, no. I want to end the year with thanksgiving. I want to end the year with hope. I want to end the year with expectation that God is still at work in me.
Amen.
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 Is He at work in you?
Yes.
God is at work in me.
Amen.
God is at work in me. Amen. So we see, what is it? Are you able to see? Yeah, so we had magicians, and you know, the whole, this is the other thing. The Babylonian army had invaded the nations, including Jerusalem and Judah. This man is right on top. They're all common people there in Babylon. But below them are the slaves and exiles from Judah. Actually, in the hierarchy, Daniel is right below. Daniel and all those few thousand of people who had come from Jerusalem, they are all right in the lower rung of the ladder. Low. Bottom line, bottom. But see what God can do. I want us to see what God can do. Daniel chapter 2, verse 44. Daniel 2, verse 44. And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms. This is the dream of Nebuchadnezzar. And this is the dream of the kingdom. This is us, the church of God. The church of God today is that stone which came down rolling from that mountain and came and destroyed the statue. It's a statue that Nebuchadnezzar dreamt. He didn't see it fall. He only saw a statue. In his dream, there was a statue that had gold in the head, that had silver in the chest, and that had bronze, and down below in the feet it was iron, and you know, down in the feet it was iron and clay. That's what he saw. Daniel saw that dream and interpreted the dream. You know, this is examination. First chapter is interview. Second chapter is examination. Daniel was interviewed there in Babylon. He passed that interview with flying colors. 10 times better than all the other candidates. Harvesting church, that is, somebody was saying, harvesting church means you should pass, you should come first, you should be selected.
Reshma
Singh, yeah. Reshma Singh. So that should be natural. But second chapter was the examination. Examination, what paper was that? But Daniel,
say the dream.
Interpretation exam. Paper was interpretation. And you'll have to say the dream and then interpret the dream. But you know, Daniel interpreted that. And Daniel interpreted, this is the kingdom. The kingdom that will come. The stone that will come and break all these kingdoms. The kingdom, he said, the government shall be upon his shoulders.
Amen.
And there will be no end to the increase of his government.
Amen.
That is the church of God. You know, Daniel was one of the slaves. But when he was called, he also didn't know the dream. He also didn't know what the king's dream was. But you know what Daniel said? Daniel said, King, give me time. I will come back to you with the dream and the inspiration and the interpretation. You know, by that time, a lot of other people, this is what happened. They were cut in pieces and their houses were made ash heap. That is a punishment. And all these magicians and astrologers, the sorcerers, the wise men, it started happening to them. Many people died. And Daniel is asking, Arius, what is this? And Arius tells him, look, this is the king's edict. This is what is happening. So Daniel goes to the king and says, give me time. And what did Daniel do? He came back and called his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and they started praying. This is the secret. The supernatural doesn't come just like that. The supernatural comes to us if we will wait and ask, if we will wait and seek the Lord. We say, seek the Lord. Will you wait on the Lord? Will you call upon the name of the Lord? They called upon the name of the Lord. They did not sleep. They could not sleep. Because if they did not give the interpretation, they all also died. They will be cut into pieces and the houses will be made ash heaps. But they went and prayed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I want us to really ask ourselves, no, I don't want you to call you and say, come for prayer. I want to ask you, are you seeking the presence of God? Are you seeking the presence of God? If you're seeking the presence of God, you will run to the presence of God. I won't have to call you for meeting. I'm really not going to call you for meeting. We make announcements here, but I'm going to start praying. You know, and we came back, we had a few days away, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. We came back and said, Lord, in the Bible, in the New Testament, people pray. Paul went 9 o'clock, he went to Philippi to the prayer place. 12 o'clock, Peter was praying there. That's when he received the vision of Cornelius' house. 3 o'clock, Peter and John were going to the temple to pray. These are all odd times. We pray in the morning, we pray in the evening. But you know, odd times. Not necessarily 1 hour. But I want to just start praying. And I started. And I realized it is not easy. It's not easy. Whole day you have some work or the other, some call or the other, some people or the other. And I strive. I strive. And I'm praying that, you know, our church will be a praying church. I don't want our church to be called a dancing church because we dance well. You know, our prayer, I want us to be called praying people. Will people call you as a person who prays? Will people know you as a person who prays? Will people call you and tell you, this is my prayer request? As a person who called, he called about a month ago. I've been praying for him. He's been in and out of hospital. And last night I called and said, I've heard from you, I've been praying for you, how are you? He said, brother, I'm out of hospital, I'll come and see you now. I'm still in Vellore, but I'm out of hospital. All those things are gone and healed. I said, praise God.
Amen.
God is a prayer answering
praise
God.
God. Praise
I
God.
Want us to see the healing happen in through us. And healings and miracles will happen around us. Daniel called his friends and said, hey, this is a problem. They sought the Lord of heaven. They sought the Lord of heaven. Yes, they were serving the king. But they believed in the King of Kings who is above this king.
Amen.
And they sought the king. The King of Kings. And the interpretation and the dream came to Daniel in a night vision. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's what happened. Praise God for that. You know, and because of that, what happened? The hierarchy completely changed. The man who was sitting as a king, he came and fell down at the feet of Daniel.
Hallelujah.
You see that? In a place where these people were slaves and exiles from Judah, the man who is right on top, he's got magicians, astrologers, sorcerers, wise men. He's got the Babylonian army invading nation after nation. He's got countless common people, and he's got slaves. And one slave from here was able to give an interpretation
Amen.
To the dream.
Amen.
And the king fell
Amen.
At his feet.
Amen.
The king fell at his feet. Read that. Let's read that. Verse 47. The king answered Daniel and said, truly, your God is the God of gods, Lord of kings, and the revealer of secrets. Since you could reveal this secret, then the king promoted Daniel and gave him many gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon. 46. The king Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face, prostrate before Daniel, and commanded offering and incense to him to be presented to him. What a change in the hierarchy. I mean, I can't see a better example in all of the Bible for such a change in the hierarchy. The king who is, the most ruthless king coming and falling at your feet because of one single miracle. One single miracle. I want us to believe, is it possible? Can God do that? I'm saying God has to do that. In our current context, God has to do that. God has to do that because we are having people more ruthless. I'm not talking about the kings, even politicians, even local dandas, they are more ruthless. More ruthless than this man. The things that we are hearing around, only part of it is coming to the media. Many things are, you know, hidden. Many things are hidden. But the God of the universe, if He is sovereign, if we are able to see the Most High rules in the realms of men and He gives it to whomever He desires, if we are able to see that, if we have that conviction, if we confess and we say, yes Lord, this is the God we worship, I'm saying we will start seeing things happening here.
Amen.
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 And God is waiting. Actually, God is more eager. God is more keen to see these things happen in our life. God is just waiting for us to come. Waiting for us to come. So the hierarchy changed completely. After this happened, king was there, but above that was Daniel and Daniel's God.
Hallelujah.
Is he above? Is Daniel above the king here?
Yes.
That's how we came. Daniel and Daniel's God should be above the rulers. Powers, authorities. How did this happen? Turn with me to Daniel chapter 2, verse 21 and 22. When the Lord revealed the dream to Daniel, He said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His. And He changes the times and seasons. He removes kings, raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep secrets." The gifts of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 8. There are two things. The word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. Word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. That was in operation. That was in operation. Word of knowledge is knowing things. You talk to a person, even before he says anything, we know what's happening in his life. We are able to say that. That's the word of knowledge. It's a word of knowledge. God gave Daniel word of knowledge in the Old Testament itself. That he was able to say that. That's why they say, Daniel on whom the spirits of the gods. They were able to, Old Testament kings, heathen kings were able to interpret correctly what was happening to man of God. Old Testament kings. I tell you, if you are a man of God, people in your company, people around you will see that, will know that, and there will be fear around you. I can say at least two instances. My senior manager, you know, my boss's boss, he told my manager, "Don't meddle with him, he's a Christian. Don't meddle with him, he's a Christian." How did he know? There'll be drinking parties. I'm a senior manager. I'll go there, I won't drink. I'll give a reason for my faith. The company knew that I was a Christian. And there was a fear that if you meddle with them, you'll be in trouble. That is God.
Yeah.
That is God.
Yeah.
They also know that not only you should not meddle with him, he also won't come and, you know, fool around with us. He won't come and be part of the drinking parties. And Daniel, it is said, Daniel chapter 1 verse 8. Daniel chapter 1 verse 8. This is the beginning. This is the beginning. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies, nor the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. If we are careful not to pollute ourselves with the pollution around us. Actually, today the world is infested with sin, and some Christians are not even aware. They're getting into traps, and after they got into traps, they say, "Oh, you, I did not know." Too late. If you come at yourself saying, "I am a child of God, I will not be defiled by sin, I am sanctified and separated, a pure vessel for the Lord," God will keep you. God will keep you pure. God will keep you pure. God kept me pure. He'll keep you pure. But you have to take this stand. Daniel took that stand and God changed the hierarchy in his times. The next one, chapter 3, we see this. What about Daniel's friends? When Daniel's, this is another powerful testimony. Daniel chapter 3 verse 2. There again we see the hierarchy. All these magicians are there. But in the kingdom, there are other people, seven categories of people. You have satraps, astrologers, sorcerers, Chaldeans, satraps, administrators, governors, councils, treasurers, judges, magistrates and officers. You know, there's a huge hierarchy of people having positions of power and wielding power. Actually, they're wielding power. Magistrates, they wielded power. Governors, treasurers, they are all wielded power. And in this system, there were common people. And these people were slaves and exiles from Judah. And, you know, Daniel was right there in the palace. But these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, they were also in positions of authority, but they were in the districts. They were in administration and senior positions. And what happened? We see the king made a statue and made and said, a 90-foot statue, and said, look, when the music is playing, people have to come and fall and worship the statue. And if anybody does not worship, what will happen? Same thing. Cut into pieces, house be made of ash. That was the punishment. It was very clear. Very clear. And these three boys, three young men, and they were not 40, 50 years old. They were all teenagers, 18, 20 years old. Young men. Young, you know. But if you see the qualifications, they all looked good. They didn't have any defect. They were able to speak well, they had wisdom, they had knowledge, they had understanding, they had ability to serve. These are the requirements given. These were the kind of young men. What did they do? When everybody else was falling, these three guys were standing. You know, a huge statue, the music was played, and everyone, actually you're not able to see clearly here, but they're all falling down and worshipping the statue. Falling prostrate before the statue, and everybody is falling down, and you are standing, you will be seen.
Yeah.
You will be seen. And everybody is sitting and you are standing, and with your hands lifted up, you will definitely be seen. You know, there is something special about lifting your hands. There is special about lifting your hands. When you sit in the presence of God, you will know that. I didn't understand that. I didn't understand, but at a very early age, when I was in college, there was a man of God. He was just a student who had passed out of college and was working somewhere. He came to my house. We went to the beach. And there he sat down and talked for some time. And then he said, let us pray. Upright, kneeling upright, hands up, raised to him. I said, my God, I've not seen this. How does he do this? Raising hands. You know what it means when you raise it before the King of Kings. Football match, somebody scores a goal, you're able to lift your hand. In the presence of God, in the power of, in the presence of God, in the presence of the Almighty God, your hands will automatically go up.
Amen.
To worship the King.
Amen.
And say, Lord, I salute you. Lord, I worship you. These boys, these young men, they were standing. So obviously they were seen. They were seen. I want to say this. In the world, if you are living as a testimony, you will be seen very soon, very quickly.
Yeah.
It won't take time. They'll see you. Maybe something wrong with this guy. They're not like us. She's not like me. She's not like the rest of us. He's not like us. They will be seen. And God is proud of them. God is proud of them. You know, when this happened, all those people there, they were upset. They were upset. They went and said to the king, look at these three guys. They are all senior officers. You know, the king called the officers in the whole region, which means thousands of them were there. Thousands. And only three guys were standing up. I want to tell you, if you stand for the Lord is proud of you.
Amen.
Jesus said, if anyone is ashamed of me and my name, and I come with my angels, I'll be ashamed of you. When you're proud, when you stand for the Lord is proud of you. The Lord is proud of you. And so the king comes and says, I'm going to put you where? In the fiery furnace. Previously cut into pieces. Here, the punishment was to to be put in the fiery furnace. And when these guys said they won't stand, they won't bow down, the furnace was heated seven times. Seven times, so much so the chaps, you know, the officers, the captains, the muscle men were brought to carry these guys and put them in the furnace. And those guys were burnt. But what happened in the furnace? The Lord was with them in the furnace.
Hallelujah.
The Lord was with Daniel in the furnace. The Lord Jesus was there with these men who believed in him. And the king, he says to the people, did we not put three people inside? I see the fourth man and they are walking and nothing is happening to them. And his face is like the Son of God. He's like the God. He then king is saying, if you want to see the supernatural, God doesn't give a supernatural visitation to everybody. We have to stand out. We have to stick out like a sore thumb. Actually, when we stick out like a sore thumb, the Lord will come. I want us, you know, we are ending and finishing a year. I want us to, you know, change our mindsets. You know, mindsets. We are a Pentecostal church. We want to see the Holy Spirit manifestations
Amen.
In our time.
Amen.
We will not despise the Word of God. Everything that the Word of God says, we want to uphold, we want to believe, we want to confess. That's a conviction. And we want to see the manifestation of the Word of God, or the power of God. I want us to see that. I want us to believe. I want us to have that conviction. And the Lord will do supernatural things in our life.
Amen.
And when we stand out like that, the Lord will not be ashamed to call us His children. Amen. I want to sing the song. Don't say, can you? I want to sing the song. Sing the song. The song says, He's a miracle working God. He's a miracle working God. Shalom, shalom. I want to take the offering now. And while we sing, the message is not over. But I want to sing the song. And I want you to keep singing and sing. He's a miracle working God. He's a wonder. He's a miracle. He's a miracle working God.
He's a miracle working God. He's a miracle working God. He's a wonder. He's a miracle. He's a miracle working God.
Working God. Thank you, Lord. You're a wonder. You're a miracle. You're a miracle working God. Thank you. We bless this offering, Lord. We offer ourselves. You are a miracle working God. I pray that you will do signs, miracles, wonders in the lives of your people. In Jesus' name. Amen. So the whole order was replaced. And now what happened? Earlier the king was on top. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego was down below. They were down below. Magicians, astrologers, all these were down. But after this incident, the God of Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego was above. Hallelujah. This is the reversal, a real change in the order. I really want us to see this order being changed. Do you believe?
Amen. Yes.
I want you to believe. And when you believe, you will see this happen.
Yeah.
As long as we don't believe,
yeah.
we will not see this
yeah.
happen. God won't force some things in our lives.
Yeah.
But the Lord is pleased to see this happen when we open up and say, yes, Lord, I want a miracle.
Yeah.
I want to see this happen. I want to see this happen here. And He will change the authorities. He will change the system around us for His name to be glorified. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 12, He says, these signs you will do, like the signs and miracles that I did, you will also do. And He said, greater signs. Greater signs than these He will do. And this is kept for us. This is kept for our time. In the last days he will pour his spirit on all flesh. All flesh. Your sons and your daughters will
prophesy.
Your old men will see dreams. Young men will see visions. We're living in this time. And I believe God will do this. I want us to believe. And as we believe, we will see that. Standing out as a witness for the Lord. That was the difference. And finally, in chapter 4, you know, this is amazing. This is the testimony of Nebuchadnezzar. Your children are laughing. This is a man. He's actually a man. Read chapter 4. It's a testimony. Nebuchadnezzar is writing a testimony. I mean, it's amazing. King of Babylon, the one who ruled from the river to the sea, huge dominion he had. He is writing a testimony. He said, I praise the God of heavens. Turn with me, chapter 4. Nebuchadnezzar the king, verse 1. To the peoples, nations, languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I thought it good to declare the signs and wonders that the Most High God has worked for me. What a testimony.
Yeah.
For a man who is a terrible king, terrible for the Jews, rising up and saying, I want to share this testimony. This is another dream. This is another interpretation. And Daniel interpreted it. And what happened was that interpretation came true. And the Bible says that he was standing in this palace, in the terrace, and saying, this is Babylon that I built, my hands built. And judgment came upon him. And he was in the park with dew on his head, eating grass like a cow, with his claw nails like claws, and with oxen around him for a season, till he recognized that the God of heaven, that the Most High rules in the realms of man. This happened. And he came back his kingdom. He got back his kingdom. And then he declared, Most High rules in the realms of man. Amazing. I mean, read the four chapters of the book of Daniel. This happened in heathen times, in times when the heathen kings were ruling, the Babylonian kings were terrible, and Nebuchadnezzar ruled. And in his time, that king could be changed. This is a testimony, this is an example, this is a promise for a word, this is a promise that says, this is God, and he will do this. He will do this in our time. Daniel chapter 1 verse 8, that is a commitment he made. You know, what made the difference? The difference was made because of the revelation. The spirit of wisdom and revelation of Daniel. Spirit of wisdom and revelation came upon Daniel. And in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 6, Paul is praying that we will be enlightened, that we will see, the spirit and wisdom. Paul prayed for enlightenment, that we will have the spirit of revelation and wisdom. And Daniel had that in the Old Testament. And this is Paul's prayer for us also. We have two options. One is, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 and 3, he says, 1 to 3, he says, we were dead in our transgressions and sins. We were following the ruler of the power of the air, the Lord of this air. We were following him. He's a vulture. He's a falcon. We can either be those who are following the disobedient, who are following the spirit which is at work in the sons of disobedience, or we can follow the Lord Jesus, who will give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that we may know him better. Hallelujah.
Amen.
This is Paul's prayer for us. Paul prayed that, you know, we may have the spirit of wisdom and revelation, and if we seek after it, the Lord is here to give it to us. In the end of this year, I'm really asking, don't live like you lived in the past. If you have not seen in the past, the Lord is saying, He is more keen. It's not that we are trying, and you know, we fail. No. We have not followed the ways of the Lord. If we accept what His word says, if we don't make fun of people. I mean, I'm telling you, I come from a traditional family and I know I have made fun. My fathers, my parents have made fun. They didn't understand the Pentecostals. Because we didn't understand, we said, oh, what noise they're making. They're speaking in tongues. That is a curse. It's a curse. We have to confess and say, Lord, I'm sorry. You say that, the Lord will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. We can't make fun of the Holy Spirit and accept the Holy Spirit, wisdom and revelation in our life. God is no respecter of persons. God cannot be mocked. And I want to say this. Church, if there's a sin against the Holy Spirit, I want you to confess and say, Lord, I made this. I've talked about them. I didn't understand. I said, with my words I've said things that I should not have said. I ask you forgiveness. And the Lord will forgive you. The Lord will heal you. And the Lord will help you to see the wisdom and power. The hope of His calling, the inheritance in the saints, and the power, the same power, the same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead is at work in you. The same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead, that's the power. And that is what Paul, what was Paul saying? Paul was going around and saying the resurrection. Everybody they are saying, they're preaching the resurrection. What is the resurrection? The resurrection is the power of Jesus that raised, power of the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. And that is at work in you and that is at work in me. God is at work in you. Today, the Lord is wanting that power to raise, to that power to work in us, to raise the things that are dead in us. Amen. That His life may be manifest in us. I really want us to believe. I want us to say, Lord, I'm sorry in the past I've done this. I want to trust in You. What happened in the life of Daniel can happen in our life, shall happen in our life. The hierarchy shall be reversed. God has to be enthroned. The most high roles in the realms of men, repeatedly it comes in the book of Daniel. That has to be the testimony in our life. And when that happens, we will see Jesus glorified. Amen?
Amen.
Do you believe or you think I just said a story?
No, please.
I want you to believe. I want you to believe in the Spirit. I want you to receive it in the Spirit. Shall we stand up? And if you want to say, Lord, I believe and I want this to happen in my life, I want you to lift your right hand and say, Lord, I don't want to end this year like this. I don't want to just be a nominal thing that of the, like it was in the past. I want something supernatural to happen in my life. And I want Holy Spirit of God to work and manifest in my life. I pray, Lord, that this will be my portion. I want you to lift your right hand and say, Lord, this is my dedication. I'm sorry for the times when I have spoken against the Holy Spirit. I'm sorry, Lord, Master, I didn't understand when people spoke in tongues. I didn't understand when those noises came. I made a mock, I made fun, Lord. Father, I'm sorry. Cleanse me with the blood of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And make me see the works of the Holy Spirit in my life. And the Lord will do it. The Lord will do it. The Lord will do it. We still have a few more weeks before the end of this year. The Lord is revealing plans for the next year. Who will reveal it? Holy Spirit only. Holy Spirit only can reveal. And He will reveal it to you. He's close to you. He's near you. He's in you. You want to be released in full power.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Allow Him to work. Allow Him to work. Allow Him to work.